Good evening and welcome to Blindspot. Tonight on the program, we are proud to present A Space for Friends, a dramatic recreation of conversations between two old friends as played out as a public spectacle on the popular website myspace.com. Tonight, we hope to examine the effects of technology and the public spectacle on a relationship between friends and how the different approaches to technology impact these relationships. A show about friends, rivals, artificiality, and cyberspace. Each week, Blindspot presents a unique live radio show that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information about the program and the people that work each week to produce it, please visit our website at stopgostop.com/blindspot. There, you will also find pictures and MP3s of past shows, as well as information about future shows. Tonight's program was written by J. Edward Goldman and Jacob Christopher, and featuring the talents of Brian Taylor and John Wanzel. Tonight's program is produced and engineered by Jacob Christopher. And now, broadcasting from the campus of Loyola University, WLUW 88.7 FM Chicago is proud to present Blindspot's presentation of A Space for Friends.
Hell yeah. JC's in the his house.
Yeah, I finally caved. The lure of meeting pretty girls was too intense to resist any longer.
I have known Jacob Christopher since way back in the dorms at SAIC. Woo! We spent a lot of drunken nights stumbling down the halls together.
Well, I've known Jacob Christopher since I was freaking born. We're blood and guts. We apparently used to take baths together because our crazy moms would throw us in the same tub to save time or water or something. Yep, we were white trash like that. There are pictures of Grammy's house to prove it. But then later in our teens, we drank beer and watched porn and made techno together. I even introduced this boy to his first music software, and don't let that bastard tell you otherwise. Now we hardly ever talk. He won't even message me back. Boo-hoo. I'm sure he's just too damn cool for it.
Who likes to party? We like to party. You like to party? He likes to party. She likes to party? They like to party. Everybody party. Birthday party, Christmas party, cocktail party, graduation party, wedding party, dinner party, costume party, everybody party.
I say I agree with that Scott dude. Party, party, party. Party hardy, party, party, tardy. Whoa! Chris is rocking the MySpace, and hopefully he'll be rocking with me. When I'm back in Iowa on the 28th or so to go to Yosef's shotgun New Year's Eve wedding, can you dig it? I hope so. God, do I hope so.
Yeah, I'll be back for the wedding. Actually, I'm coming home for Christmas and going back to Chicago to work a few days before returning to rock with you in a good old shig town. Hopefully getting drunk near some pigs or at least a cornfield.
Thank you. You're a bunghole. Bunghole.
Jake, you suck.
Yeah, I may suck, but it doesn't mean that you don't suck as well. You could very well suck too in the final analysis.
No, actually, I don't suck. If there's anyone that sucks, it's you. I don't feel like you know me anymore.
Fine, I suck. I'm willing to accept it. But I would at least like to suggest that suckiness is culturally relative, and that your Midwestern standards of suckiness may differ somewhat from my Western standards of suckiness. After all, even though I will never be able to escape my Iowan roots, I am a resident of California now, and feel much more like a Californian than I ever felt like an Iowan. Nevertheless, my offense occurred under the jurisdiction, and perhaps the standards of suckiness, of Iowa, and so I suppose you're in the right in judging that I suck. From a Californian perspective, however, it was sucky for me to even go to Iowa in the first place, regardless of the fact that I hung out with Brett and Andy longer in Iowa City when I was supposed to be hanging out with you and Sigourney. So it's a complicated matter, but I'll leave it up to you and your standards to say that I still suck. You don't know me anymore? Damn. That's like saying the blood doesn't know the guts and the guts doesn't know the blood, which is just downright silly. You know me just as well as anyone else does. Except those damn Carstens. They don't know me at all. Just because I pissed you off by being my usual inconsiderate self doesn't mean you don't know me anymore. P.S. Your music rocks, and you'll probably always be better than me, if for no other reason, because of it. So suck on that one. Happy V-Day, Jacob Christopher. I love you as much as I can without it being gay and incestuous. Okay, well, maybe just a little. But I hope you're getting some lovin', or at least on the track to getting some lovin', from one lady or another. Or if not, that's fine, too. I just want you to be happy, damn it! That's all I want on this crazy, lonely, messed-up planet for my little baby cuzzy to get some slice of the pie once in a while. Doesn't he deserve it, dear Lord? Doesn't he deserve it?
You know, Jake, I'm really pissed. You really pissed me off with your last post. And so I spent a long time writing a long message to try to explain why I'm pissed off. But I never sent it to you, because I realized that I don't want to be one of those kids bumping chests on the playground. And that's why I didn't respond to anything you said to me. Because you wouldn't take it seriously. You would instead only think about what your rebuttal would be. So here's an extra short version of what I had to say in that message. I think for some reason you have an unwarranted sense of superiority because you live in San Francisco now, and I'm not impressed by it. In fact, I'm really tired of hearing about it, and when you talk to people, you exclude the sense of pride about it, and I don't understand. Even your profile gives this look how cool I am appearance. I remember when I first moved to Chicago and walked around with a sense of superiority. Nobody wants to hear it, especially when you're trying to justify your actions according to where you live. Yeah, I was pissed at you for what happened in Iowa, for more reasons than just standing me up on my last night in town. But I was more pissed off recently by your attitude in your last message you sent. The fact that you said, and I quote, "I can't escape my Iowan roots," as if being from Iowa is precisely causing new problems in your life. the fact that you said my only mistake from a California perspective was going back to Iowa in the first place, as if there's something wrong with seeing your friends and families after you've lived in California for only a year. Tell me about this damn California perspective you speak of. Because I think you're full of crap. If you think that you made a mistake somehow by hanging out with me in Iowa, then what's the point of being friends with you? And then you say jurisdiction? What is your problem? You honestly believe that your actions towards one of your oldest friends are regionally determined? The fact that you let me down and insulted me is only wrong because it happened in Iowa? What if I go to California and visit you? Should I expect the same jerk that there because of some jurisdiction? And would it be funny if you weren't so serious? You don't get a free pass to do whatever you want and say just because I don't that I don't understand because I live in the Midwest. That's bull. You seem to be forgetting that I live in Chicago and have lived in a major city longer than you have. And more that it doesn't matter. You deal with me as an individual, as your friend, not a Midwesterner and a California. I don't care what you call yourself. I just care if you're trying to say is that something you do is permissible because I can't possibly understand your new attitude. That's why I said I don't know you anymore. I'm not having this holier-than-thou attitude that you have. You remind me more now of who you were in high school than the new person that has accepted a new place. And Jake, I don't care. I don't take this MySpace thing that seriously. If you want to be out of my top 8, fine. It's a ridiculous site anyway. I'm probably not going to be here much longer because I can't, because it's causing too much drama. I know you probably think that you got nothing to hide, so why not post our fights as comments, but I'm not interested in posting this as a comment because if everyone's watching, I'm not sure you or I will respond as honestly as we would have otherwise. And then we'd been fighting forever, and I don't want to fight with you. I probably said some mean things just now, but it seriously bothered me. I read that post at work, and it put me in a really bad mood. I was yelling at people, throwing things, and it's because you have the tendency to be really inconsiderate, and then just act like it's somebody else's fault. Like I'm just not adjusted to something. Like I'm the one with hang-ups. We were much better friends when we talked on the phone. We should talk on the phone again soon. I just don't have any energy to write this stuff down and expect it to make any sense. I don't like being angry at people, especially these days. And I don't like some of the things I just said, but I needed to say it. And I expect you'll have a lot of mean things to say to me in return, and that's fine. Even though you piss me off in a serious way, you superior bastard. You're still my blood and guts.
Look, man, I'm sorry. I'm so very, very sorry, as your headline says. I'm sorry for standing you up or whatever in Sigourney that night, like I said I was when I came back, but you didn't believe me, perhaps understandably, because I'm often not sorry for anything, or at least have a difficult time saying I'm sorry to you guys, though I, for some reason, am perfectly able to say it to other people. I felt a real obligation to hang out with Brett and Andy as much as I could, and it caused me to lose sight of this fact that I was supposed to be hanging out with you. And I'm not sure what else you are or were angry with me about when I was back in Iowa, and I recall us having some argument in the car about girls and sex and whatnot, and you feeling like I was trying to force my viewpoints on you when you had no interest in living your life like I lived mine. Sorry for that, too, if I crossed any lines. I just wanted you to have some healthy argument and possibly shake you up for what I perceived to be the better. Because you seem to be so kind of, you know, stagnant with regard to girls, and I thought maybe I could somehow be helpful in that respect by offering up my experience. You and everyone else, especially Jessica, as she's learning, know that I can be a pain in the ass to argue and discuss things with, but I'll often drive my point into the ground with no consideration whatsoever as to how it or the way in which I deliver it will affect the other person. If you're referring to other things I did in Iowa, then you'll have to let me know, because I've really forgotten at this point. About my supposed feelings of superiority to you and to everyone else I know in the Midwest, it's just really not true, with the minor exception of Will, because I do feel superior to someone who moves somewhere just because his sister lives there and because he's not independent enough to live on his own. But I do have tons of respect for you and what you've done in Chicago in terms of school and finding work in the art world and making music, living in the city, making friends, blah, blah, blah. You've lived in Chicago much longer than I've lived in San Francisco, and Chicago could very well be a more difficult city to live in than San Fran. I don't know. I've never lived there, and I don't really want to, but it's just my personal preference for the weather, culture, location, people, etc. out here. I can't really communicate what it's like to live out here to you, just like you can't really communicate what it's like to have lived in Chicago the way you have, but I do know that it's different, in some way more than others, and that I prefer it to living anywhere in the Midwest, based on my experience visiting Chicago and Minneapolis, St. Louis, Kansas City, and wherever else. I've been to Chicago several times, and I liked it all right, but I'm sure there are many, many things for me to see and experience in Chicago that I really had no inkling of when I was there. By the same token, you've been to San Francisco twice. One time of which, I was with you and saw pretty much the same things, and I'm sure that there are many things out here for you to see and experience that could affect your opinion and feelings about San Francisco, probably for the better, but maybe for the worse. I know that I like it, and that we're fairly similar, or at least we were at one point in the past, so maybe you would like it too. Who knows? Hell, who really cares? You probably never live out here, and I'll probably never live over there in Chicago, but hopefully we'll visit each other. Of course, where I visited you a few times after you moved to Chicago, you haven't visited me once out here at all, nor has anyone else. Or, more importantly, has anyone else even talked about it, or even expressed any desire whatsoever, except maybe Frank, in terms of my old friends. Though, in Iowa City, no one else has expressed any interest. Let's not forget that Andy rode out here with me when I moved, which was pretty cool. But the cost of transportation is prohibitive, you know, but then perhaps not insurmountable, given that our aunt works for United Airlines. I don't recall ways in which I was demonstrating any superiority of myself as a Californian when I was back, unless you interpret me raving on about where I live and how cool it is and how much I like it, and how much I like the girls or whatever. As far as me condescending in the Midwest, I'm just happy about where I live, for the most part. And I guess when I was back and Iowa was a dreary, muddy wasteland, I was feeling some nostalgia, California dreaming, and describing where I live with some excitement. I don't feel much of that now because I've kind of settled in here at the Hate, and I don't have sex with random girls anymore, at least not recently. And the weather is cold and blah, and it's not as exciting as it once was, though I still like it. But I just moved out here to a cool part of the city, and I guess I was in the mood for advertising San Francisco when I was back. I think it's only natural to downplay the coolness of every other place when you're happy or excited about where you're living at the moment. Like I said, I don't feel much of that now. I wish I did. I'm waiting for the spring and summer to roll around, and Jessica and I are going to drive down to L.A. this weekend to see Joanna Newsom, and the weather should be an improvement, so I'm looking forward to that. To be honest, though, I sense a near complete lack of interest from you about anything I was telling you about California or San Francisco when I was back. I felt like I was going on and on about how great it was, and it would just fall flat onto silence or indifference. And I thought that was a little strange, but I wasn't sure if it was just me or not. I mean, when someone tells you about a place that you've never lived, or especially never been before, I almost always find it really fascinating, unless I'm despairing about the fact that I can't go there or will never be able to go there and experience it for myself. And I usually hear this stuff from people that are wealthier than me, or at least have had more opportunities for travel. Sometimes you just can't relate to the place that the person is talking about, and you don't find it interesting. And other times, you can relate to it, but the problem is that you end up relating the experience of where you live too much, so that the uniqueness or eccentricities of this place that you aren't familiar with become lost. I'm not saying that only you do this, I'm just saying that I do it as well, okay? But it seems to me like a lot of this has been happening when I've talked to you about San Francisco in the past, though it by no means is always the case. Whether or not it's true, anyway, my perception of this has caused me to be less interested in what you're saying about Chicago and more interested in what I'm saying about San Francisco. And in San Francisco itself, which I feel is really cool. And,
You have yet to really experience, though you could say the same about me in Chicago, but the difference is I've experienced more of Chicago than you have about San Francisco. Though I'm sure it's very little in the larger scheme of things, and San Francisco is in a completely different region of the country, on the coast, as everyone I ever talk to seems to believe that there's a huge difference between middle America, even the major cities, and the coastal metropolitan cities like SF and NYC. Though I have yet to find out what that place is like. Anyway, I'm obviously rambling, and I don't want to lose sight of my point here, but it's not that San Francisco is superior to Chicago, or that I'm superior to you, or Frank, or Andrew, or Sarah, but Will, oh yeah, for reasons other than geographic location. My point is that San Francisco is very different to me than the Midwest, that my life out here is very different, and I believe I'm happier out here than I could ever have been anywhere in the Midwest, though I'm by no means happy when my girlfriend lives in Maryland. It's kind of hard. And to continue my point, I want my friends from Iowa to accept and understand that, and even show interest in it once in a while, and to not look badly upon me in any way for moving to California. And by the same token, I have to do all these things for you guys, assuming that you all, respectively, are happy with your lives and where you live. I know Andrew is, and I try to be happy for him, even though I have an inexplicable distaste for the idea of any of my friends living in Iowa for the rest of their lives. As to you, or Frank, or Will, or Sarah, who isn't even really my friend, and who I shouldn't really give a damn about, but I kind of do, slightly, I have no idea what's up with your lives. I moved out here because it's something that I had to do in order to fulfill my destiny, or something like that. But it was right for me. But it's not right for everybody, though I wish it was right for my friends, because they were good friends back in the day, and you want to be able to see them every once in a while. I always knew that I was either going to NYC or San Francisco. Or, of course, the adolescent passion for Rand made NYC seem obvious, and I no longer see skyscrapers as an expression of the highest aspirations or achievements of man. Call me crazy. I'm glad I just ended up here. It felt like a place, and I wanted to be back when you and I visited Aunt Jo in high school. Or was it after high school? I don't know. Anyway, I dug it. I like hippies. I really like open-minded people, so long as they don't annoy me by being too intellectually loose. And I like the ocean, the big hills, the beaches, and the hot hipster city girls whose strange fashions I either marvel or inwardly laugh at. And I even like going downtown or to the financial district occasionally, just to feel that fast-paced hustle and bustle of lives that will probably never resemble mine in any significant way. In the end, I'll always be a nature lover, though I could never compete with your Hamas instincts. And I'd be liking the nature out here, because it's different from what I grew up with, and I tend to find it more beautiful, though I have some fondness for the Midwestern landscape as well, which is probably connected to childhood. But when there was nothing else to do and it was something to be explored. One last thing. MySpace. Look, it's a freaking joke to me. I'm at my most sarcastic in almost every comment I leave when I'm on anyone's page, almost. I don't view it as in any real way to communicate. That's part of the reason why I don't even have a personal profile and only a musical one. However, I've met a few cool people through it and got sex through it once, I think. And I do like that people can hear tracks that I've made. Though most people don't really give a crap. Occasionally, when people do, it's rewarding. But mostly I like playing around with Jessica and her friends and my little teenager friends from Mill Valley, where I used to work. It's a waste of time, but it's sometimes enjoyable. As for the comments I left you, they were pretty much totally sarcastic. And of course we weren't getting along, and you know how I like to push people's buttons with out-of-line sarcasm. And basically because I'm a bastard and my parents screwed me up when I was a kid by beating me, and as a result I don't really know how to relate to people in a genuine way, and blah, blah, blah. Good thing I got far, far away from them, huh? But, we could probably all use the same excuses or explanations. The difference is, I'm gonna be a psychotherapist. Rock on! I like to believe that I work well with strangers. But we'll see. It was good of you to write that message, though, despite lows such as claiming that I've regressed, or not progressed, from the person I was in high school. Ouch. You must be really looking for a war here. But I don't agree with everything in it, obviously, and I think that we've misunderstood each other to a large degree. But I'm glad that somebody took a step beyond the little MySpace comments and rebuttals. I probably would have went on with them forever, or at least until Andrew's wedding when you cracked a champagne bottle over my head. But, you know, I hope things are well in Chicago, especially now that you're making music like that stuff you gave me. It was hella tight, to use the most disgusting of California expressions, often found among the most annoying of California teens imaginable. But I meant that happy V-Day message, by the way, you bastard. I truly want to find love, and I truly want you to find love and or sex in your own way, even if I disagree with your methods. P.S. A phone conversation would probably be a good idea, and it would be a good idea to have a phone conversation with any of my friends. How novel! That doesn't happen with anyone, not even my friends out here. My own fault, I'm sure. The only one I talk to is my dear, sweet Jessica, and even with her I play my philosophical word games. She thinks I don't listen to her. Does that sound familiar? Anybody? Sarah, for instance? I, on the other hand, don't think that she listens to me very well either, but part of the problem may be that she doesn't quite understand, and I assume that she should understand, but she's only 19 and in her freshman year of college, and even if it is some freaky, greeky liberal arts school where philosophy is supposed to be key, I don't know. Je ne sais pas, Jessica would say. French. Chances are I should burn in hell. Fortunately, there isn't one.
Are you mad at me? Or is there some other reason why you haven't responded to my email?
Responded to your email because I've been with Jessica over the past 2 weeks that she's been home. We were in LA for a few days. Now we've been hanging out back and forth between Mill Valley and San Francisco, but she'll be leaving early tomorrow morning, so I'll have some more time for email and everything else, though I'll probably still be negligent. I was just escorted by the highway patrol from the shoulder of US 101 outside Sausalito to Lombard Street in the city. Apparently it's illegal to walk along the freeway. Somehow I never encountered that information before, but so I'm just strolling along home after being pissed at Jessica's dad for being a jerk to her, saying goodbye and taking off. My car is messed up and I didn't feel like taking the bus, and it was such a nice brisk night outside, so I thought it was I was free to walk wherever I wanted outside the realm of public property. But damn, the Golden Gate Bridge is private now that I think of it. But I wasn't even to the bridge yet. I mean, I'm not in this damn country or state, or the officer seemed to suggest that walking along the freeway in Iowa would be illegal as well. But what's this about you having an adult job? How strange, if it's true. But more power to you, I guess.
Yeah. I have an adult job, which I guess means full-time with benefits and salary, I think. It's at the Hyde Park Art Center near the University of Chicago, and I'm the head preparator slash media technician. The cool part is that I've been doing this kind of work for like 5 years, and now I'm actually, and now it's actually worth it. And I'll be getting to work with artists and, that need assistance, even collaborate with them, and get no credit probably. But I'm at work installing a show right now at Gallery 400, so gotta go. Hey, I was listening to Distorted Dances, and my friend Scott commented that, quote, end quote, it sounds like music. Good work.
Hey, thanks for your support of my little tunage. It's nothing much, but hopefully there's more where that came from. You should let me know exactly when you'll be home for Andrew's wedding so I can plan my arrival and departure day accordingly. I'm going to stay either a few days or a week, but definitely not more. I'll be taking off time from work already for a trip to Annapolis from the 5th to the 10th, and then Paris a week sometime in the middle of May, but I don't know yet. So I don't want to take too much more time off for my Iowa trip. As is, they'll probably be annoyed with the time that I want to take off. But they're either going to give it to me or I'll mosey on down the road to the next job. But, strangely, when Will will be back isn't a big concern of mine, though perhaps I should consider breaking a champagne bottle over his head, although lack of contact may not be the best reason for doing so. But I do care about when you and Franco will be around, so give me the lowdown.
Hey, Jake. I just sent an email to Will. I don't expect him to respond, although I don't know why he wouldn't. I like the new track, Depression Synthesis, except I have probably some of the same criticism I used to have. If you care to hear, then, I'm releasing two albums soon on a net label, and I'm getting some vinyl press for another project. Did you hear that Corey is getting hitched? I forget when I'm supposed to be back in Iowa for the wedding. Andrew says the bachelor party is 2 weeks before, so I suppose you won't be there for that. I guess the rest of it goes down on June 9th or 10th, but you should call Andrew to find out. Be sure to listen tonight to my show tonight, 10 p.m., 8 p.m. for you, WLUW.org. I'll tell you where babies come from.
Comment about how you're making more money than us techno-queer Dutch bags. I suppose, of course, you mean douchebags. Well, anyway, let's not forget the sizable debt that you and your brilliant art degree has put you and your parents in. You need to make more money than us in order to pay that off. So I must admit that I'm not really jealous, although I am happy for you to be making more money, of course. I myself could have an office job or a human relations type job that pays really well, and believe me, I know lots of people out here with those sorts of jobs with nothing but a bachelor's degree or even less. But I'm not really interested in taking on more responsibility right now.
and, you know, something that eats up more of my time and mental energy. More schools on the horizon for me. I'm waiting to be accepted at SF State, so there's really no point in becoming some kind of young professional. Besides, I really want to have a career doing what I want to do, which is depth psychotherapy with adults, which requires more education for me, and as opposed to just settling for whatever I could get with my BS, which would end up being something like working with kids or seniors in a relatively superficial capacity, or working with rape victims, which I have very little interest in doing. So I prefer to be a quasi-manager, projectionist, ticket seller, popcorn scooper, and whatever the hell else they need me to do at the Presidio Theater in SF. It's an independent theater, by the way, and we know how much you despise corporations and corporate jobs. I left a corporate job where I was the guy with the tie and the jacket that sits around the office all day and reads and surfs the net, hooks up with teenage employees, etc., and tells people to do things rather than doing them himself, to a non-corporate, though definitely not non-for-profit, job where I wear the clothes I always wear and do pretty much everything myself, instead of bossing around some underlings. I thought it was really an admirable move. But you just wait, buddy-o. Someday I'll be blowing you all out of the water in terms of salary with my master's in clinical psych with my psychotherapeutic licensure. Except maybe Frankie, if he lands a job with Microsoft or something. Oh, and yeah, I forgot to add that Andrew could go to law school and become the next Jerry Spence or something, complete with cowboy boots and ridiculously exaggerated Iowan accent, whatever that is. And Will could become owner of Barnes & Noble or something, or a famous comedian, maybe. And you, a famous musician. In which case, you guys could make more than me, but I guess the possibilities really are limitless.
Jesus, three comments about an innocent comment I made to Sarah? I don't think you really require such a thorough rebuttal, especially since the comment wasn't as much about me making more money than you as it was about me not being homeless, as was predicted and driven into the ground by you and those other techno-queer douchebags. I'm very happy to be not homeless right now. Of course, if you do become a therapist like I expect you to, you'll be making a lot more money than me. So I have to bask in the glory of this while I can. And you don't need to rain on my parade because that's a bummer. And California is no place for such a bummer to be projected from. It's too sunny and everyone's smiling all the time.
Dude, there's really no need to keep interrupting me or interpreting every comment I leave you as an argument or a rebuttal. I mean, it's true that almost everything I write appears to be an argument of some sort, but that's just the way I write and think. I was using a comment you left on Sarah's page to comment on your page. Why? Because I found it funny. Like, haha, you dirty SOB, kind of funny. Why was my comment so long? No apparent reason. I leave people long comments all the time, just as I used to write ridiculously long emails to people. I just follow my train of thought out wherever it leads me. And as I once told Will in regards to something or other, if you don't like the ride, get off the train. How exactly were the boys and I going to drive you into the ground? Sure, we were skeptical about your art degree, as we were skeptical about mostly everything else. But I don't think any of us really discouraged you from going to art school in any real way. I mean, what other kind of bachelor's degree would Jacob Christopher possibly have gotten, other than an art or music one? Come on, it was a foregone conclusion. However, you managed to escape the probable
or perhaps only possible, conclusions of living on the streets and peddling your art for the next scrap of food or 40-ouncer. You not only escaped it, in fact, but you appear to be towering over it. And for that, I congratulate you, as we all should. But it doesn't mean that I won't put you in your place when I feel it necessary, when I think your ego has gotten too big, or whatever you wish to call it. That's what friends are for, right? Oh, yeah. And you have an utter misconception of where I live in California. It's San Francisco. Check out a forecast sometime. The weather fluctuates constantly. It rains plenty. It can be foggy and rather cold. And it definitely has noticeable changes of season. It's on the coast, bro. And it ain't sunshiny, smoggy, empty L.A. where you should totally move to, as you've apparently considered. I mean, if Elliot Smith brutally killed himself there, I went, and really didn't like it at all, nor does anyone I've ever talked to from the Midwest or Northern California, I'm sure you would just flourish there. So, take this imaginary Californian sunshine of yours and shove it up your ass. It'll be a bummer. Whenever and where... I'll be a bummer whenever and wherever I want to, dude.
Actually, it was... drive it into the ground, not me. The driving of the joke into the ground until it wasn't funny anymore.
Hey, would you be okay with me giving your music to this DJ guy out here? I mean, he's a pretty cool guy, and his music is good. It sounds like boards in a good way, I guess. But I gave him my stuff, and he liked it, though, strangely, my older stuff more than my newer. But anyway, I thought he might like to hear your stuff as well, but I know you're going to release an album or two, so perhaps you don't want anything leaked out to a DJ in SF. Let me know.
Sorry, I don't want you to give my music to some DJ guy. It's not the it's a work in progress, which I'm not really passing around, and only gave it to you because I care what you think. Sometimes. I haven't let anyone of my close friends in Chicago hear what I've been working on, and I really doubt that a DJ in San Fran could afford me the opportunities I couldn't get myself when the time comes. I picture a guy with backwards hat and raver pants.
No need for apology. I didn't really expect you to be cool with it. I understand your Jacob Christopher explodes across the United States with his perfectly brilliant new electronic music sort of intentions. I'm not sure if I agree with your approach, but if you say that's the tracks of you given me are still works in progress, then I guess I'll have to respect that. I just don't see why getting your music out there, if not to this DJ guy, then at least to MySpace, is a bad thing. But whatevs. Only time and record sales, I suppose, will tell. So this guy Wayne definitely doesn't have a backwards hat or raver pants. He's from L.A., very laid back and cool, seems to have great musical taste, so far, and makes pretty good music himself. I've encouraged him to put his stuff out because it's definitely good enough to be released. By the way, it's not very complimentary for you to picture me hanging out with some idiotic homeboy DJ dude. Give me some credit here, Jesus. You care what I think sometimes, though? Awesome! I care what you think sometimes, too. About some things, though not really about whatever music I've made, past or present, to be honest. I've always been pretty much indifferent to all the techno-queers, respective of opinions of my music. I had to be, otherwise I probably wouldn't have ever made anything. The impetus would have been gone. For to make music like someone else wants you, whether one person or the rest of humanity, is pretty much worthless in the end, if you ask me. We're such caring friends.
Come on, you weren't indifferent. You totally cared about, and so did I. You may not care now, as I don't care if you don't like or do understand why I make improvisational noise music or experimental radio. But you weren't always able to stand alone, and there's no shame in admitting that.
I wasn't entirely indifferent to what you guys thought, I'll admit, but my point was is that I had to cultivate indifference in order to do my own thing, making my own music, write my stupid poetry, make my little basement films, which I really wish I had some remnant of, move to California, whatever. If I had cared a lot about what you guys thought, I probably wouldn't have done much of anything different or artistic. It was a very critical environment which I was part of, and of course I was certainly contributed to in my own way. Anyway, you know I like your music, and I always have, and I like the stuff that you're doing nowadays more than what you did when you were only a wee little teen. And it would be depressing if you didn't keep making it and putting out albums to see some degree of success, money, and recognition. Hell if I know what's going to happen. But I do want you to rock out and be the best electronic musician you can be. And I of course know that you've got to do it in your own way. I'm just anxious for the rest of the world to hear your stuff, because it's obviously good. For those in the world that actually still care about good electronic music. I fear that the number of us has dwindled since our passionate teenage years. But as the birds sang, there's a time for every purpose under heaven, which we all know as hardcore atheists. That time is for you to decide, as God, the creator of your music. As for your radio show, I haven't heard a lot of it, but I liked the V-Day one where you read old diary entries. I wasn't so crazy about the talk show, but we can talk about that some other time. So, you've got to observe my German MySpace headline, Unsere Musik ist tot, ein Leiche unter dem Boden. It translates, our music is dead, a corpse under the soil. Of course, it's an overstatement, but I like it. Let's hope it's not true, though, for the sake of our children. I suck, and have failed to obtain my measurements for Andrew's wedding. Would you think it ill-advised for him to use your measurements for my suit, assuming you've gotten them somewhere? I mean, you haven't grown much taller and/or fatter since I saw you. Hope not.
Actually, I didn't get my measurements yet either, so I must suck too. But if all else fails, I have my old tux that I wore catering. Complete with food stains and decaying smell. I suppose that it might mask my more pungent body odor or something. By the way, I notice you're talking to my friend Sarah. Do you just, like, browse everyone on my friends list or what? Also, I get to meet Barack Obama today. Exciting.
Man, I wish my ex was on MySpace. You're so lucky! By the way, I added Sarah because she seemed cool. Yeah, I just randomly look through people's friends lists, not just yours. Is there some kind of problem with this? Because if there is, you can shove it.
Actually, the only problem I have with you talking to people on my friends list is when someone comes up to me and says, "Who's that weird friend of yours on the one that keeps telling me I'm pretty, and make more mistake, you haven't contacted any of my male friends, by the way. So it's not like you're just being a friendly guy. And then I have to say, hey, that's my cousin you're talking about. That's my blood and guts. That's my old techno rival. That's my holier-than-thou California buddy. And then I throw hot coffee in their face, and they scream. That I want to avoid.
Man, I'm not sure what it is, but since I moved out here and we developed this whole MySpace relationship, you just give me a headache. I'm just sitting here, la-di-da, doing my own thing on this stupid waste of time website when I have nothing better to do, which is really often, and you give me these totally uncool comments and seem to get on my case just because I've added two, as I recall, of your friends that are female. Maybe I just have no interest in your male friends. I add people because I find them, interesting, like their music, or, oh my God, find them attractive, so sue me. I said I was sorry for offending Carolyn with my remarkably lewd comments. Once again, I'm sorry, Carolyn, for improperly expressing my enjoyment of your appearance, but I won't apologize for befriending this Sarah girl that you apparently know, and must, I presume, have some sort of thing for, or else you wouldn't be making my head hurt with your absurd comments. I've said nothing outside the lines of propriety to her or anyone else you know, and I challenge you to produce any evidence for your arbitrary claims. I will never add a female on your list of friends again. Rest assured I wouldn't want to damage your reputation any further by being associated with a lecher in San Francisco, or give myself another headache. But boy, you and your friends unfortunately don't help me to deconstruct my negative stereotype of that Midwesterners are stuck up or prudish or not as open or laid back about stuff, or whatever you call it, as the people I meet out here are. Not that some of them aren't from the Midwest, of course, but either their mores, attitudes, and behaviors change after moving out here, or they just had them all along and moved out here to whatever extent or because of it. Who knows? I don't know. And of course I'm probably wrong. It's a stereotype after all. This is all just very boring to me in the end. If I can't say or do whatever I want or feel without having to worry about offending friends or strangers or whomever, then life's just no fun. And if that's what one's supposed to do in life or cyberspace, even to a small extent, then screw it. I defy the rules. I will be uncouth to my dying day. Can I use your spirally time machine thingy in Sigourney to travel back to 1967 and then move out to San Francisco again? I'm thinking that I might be happier and freer then during the famed Summer of Love. I might be able to get away with more anyway. Plus, I could do all those drugs I wanted to and not be afraid of what's in them. Let me know if it's still operational, if you can find it in your heart, and after all the pain I've caused you, to let me use it.
Hey, Chris, can you tell your cousin that I'm actually from the East Coast?
It's all the same to me, no matter where you guys are from. You're all a bunch of uptight, punk-ass biatches. And I had never experienced so much play-hatin' or just plain hatin' in my life. I was just out east, and strangely, it didn't feel to me nearly as much like prolonged hemorrhoids as every single word that travels to me across cyberspace from the dirty, smelly, infinitely suburby faux metropolitan city of Chicago. But that's just me. One holier-than-thou incidental cousin of Jacob Christopher, willfully displaced to the liberal, imminently earthquake-stricken la-la land of San Francisco. And what could be the opinion of such a nut as myself? What could that count for? I mean, I don't even have an art degree, nor are my MySpace dealings marked by extremely quirky cleverness and hilariously haphazard irony. So I don't think that what I say really counts, because anyone that takes themselves seriously on this website is a joke, huh? But moreover, anyone that takes themselves too seriously while pretending to not take themselves seriously at all on this website is even more of a joke, and far more reprehensible than the merely too serious MySpacer. I won't mention any names, except un petit homme français named Jean Parsart. Yes, we all know him, but do we really? Who could probably teach us a thing or two about a little something called bad faith? But if we were really worried about that, then I guess we wouldn't be really on this site in the first place, huh? Except to spread our music and perhaps our seed, which Sartre would be all for, and to say hi to our lost loved ones. Quote, opinions vary, says Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse.
listening to Blind Spot, a space for friends. Written by Jacob Christopher and J. Edward Goldman. Tonight's program was featured the talents of Brian Taylor and John Wanzel. Tonight's program was written and produced by Jacob Christopher. Each week, Blind Spot presents a unique live radio show that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information about the program and the people that work each week to produce it, please visit our website at stopgostop.com/blindspot. There you will also find pictures and MP3s of past shows, as well as information about future shows. Tune in next week at 10 o'clock when Blindspot presents Free Time, a performance live to air concerning two dream lives. Thank you for listening. This has been Blindspot.